Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And today our topic is forgiveness. And as we enter in this week of Thanksgiving, we thought it was important to focus on a topic that we all need some help around, I guess. It's so important. Forgiveness is so important. And for many different reasons. And we're going to give you some technical information. We've done some research. We have the Harvard study. Harvard Health study that focuses on forgiveness, and then we're going to tell some stories and we'll wrap it up lightheartedly as we always do. But when we forgive, we take control of our own emotions and responses instead of allowing the actions of others to dictate our lives. It empowers us to break free from feeling like a victim and gain a sense of emotional strength. Forgiveness encourages personal growth by promoting empathy, compassion, and understanding.
So, Angie, as we start going through this Harvard Health Reach Method, it's called, they have several different ways, bullet points, I'll call them, that can help you maybe go down the path of forgiveness. I think that often if we get ourselves stuck on a way we feel after something's happened, or maybe someone has wronged us, or there's been a big event that you ended up on maybe the wrong side of it, or whatever it is, that it's hard to get your mind and your body physically wrapped around what forgiveness is going to do for you. So the first step is recall. So you recall the wrongdoing in an objective way. The goal is not to think of the person in a negative light or to wallow in self-pity about yourself, but to come to a clear understanding of the wrong that was done. Visualize the person and the situation and all the feelings that come with it, and don't push aside anything. So feel all the feelings. Go back through it, in other words, of what happened, the event, how it made you feel, what your reaction was, possibly. Start re-feeling those emotions to set yourself up for this forgiveness path.
And I think, honestly, when you we take ourselves away, give some time, if you will. So something happens to us and we allow some time. This is about going back and reflecting, right? Recalling the emotions that you felt. And yes, feeling everything. But quite often, when we give a little time and a little distance to whatever we feel, however we feel we were wronged, it oftentimes changes our perspective. We have a little different look on things.
Well, and I think many times you can also find your wrongdoing in it, you know, so sometimes it takes two to really make that happening or the occurrence that hurt you, you know, lots of, maybe it's two people's feelings get hurt in that. It's not just one-sided. So I do think that time makes us step back and think, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or maybe I was just really emotional that day and I took it wrong. Maybe they didn't even mean that.
So that leads us to the E in reach, which is empathize. And really, it's about understanding the other person's point of view, putting yourself in that person's shoes and really, really trying to understand where they were coming from. Again, were they just having a bad day? If it's a conflict you have with someone that you know well, if you take a step back, you know that person's heart, right? If it's someone that you're, if you have a, if you're having a conflict with someone that you love or that someone that you're close to, if you take a step back and you do the recall and then you empathize, you know that person well enough to know that they probably weren't coming from a place of harm or hurt or hate, for sure. Maybe they were just having a bad day or they're going through something that we don't know about. Because oftentimes the people we love hide things from us because they don't want us to worry about them. They don't want us to have a concern that, and maybe they don't even know themselves exactly what they're going through. So before they bring it to you, they want to try to internalize it and go through it themselves. So we just really need to be empathetic and really try to think, if it's someone that you don't know well, then it's a little harder, right? Then you don't know exactly what the intent was because you don't know that person's heart.
Mm-hmm. Very true. It's a great point to make. The next letter in reach is an altruistic gift. And this step is about addressing your own shortcomings. So a little bit of reflecting there that we've already talked about of, well, maybe I bit their head off, mm-hmm. or maybe I was the one having the bad day already. Mm-hmm. And so whatever they mm-hmm. said to me just set me off and made me snap at them. And I think that when we stand back and we look at our own imperfections, mm-hmm. we all have them. Mm-hmm. And yes, and proud moments, and especially if there's a quarrel or an argument that you feel offended from or you're left offended from, the last thing you want to do is find your own shortcoming in it. But mm-hmm. again, time and reflection upon maybe what exactly happened and what your reaction came from. Mm-hmm. You know, what were you feeling that day or what had already happened that you maybe bit their head off? Mm-hmm. And so I think that gift is recognizing that, you know, forgiveness is necessary, and also realizing your own shortcomings is very much part of that.
You know, that's just part of personal growth, right? And I think
sure.
we see a lot of young, we both have young people in our lives, and they're we're all growing. We're trying to grow
always.
As individuals. Hopefully,
yeah.
if you are really living life the way that you should be, you are constantly trying to grow and perfect yourself,
and
if
be
you
better,
will.
Yes.
And be a better person.
Yes.
When you're younger, your field of vision is so much smaller. I think our young people
For sure.
get a little caught up in, you know, I can remember when I was in high school and college, what's important to me are my friends. That's mm-hmm. what's really important to me at that age because they're the people I connect with the most.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't even say I was a selfish teenager and early adult or young adult. So I wouldn't even say I was probably of the mind that my family will always love me so I can get mad at them and it's not a big deal. But my friends, oh my gosh, these mm-hmm. are people that I'm day to day hanging out with, going to classes with, you know, after school and all those things. And that's, but your worldview is so small mm-hmm. that you, what is big to you as a young adult and what is big to us now, two totally different things,
mm-hmm.
right? So
absolutely.
I really think it's a path to personal growth if you as a younger person can really take these steps and reflect. It will help you throughout your life because mm-hmm. this is something we all have to deal with. You're going to be wronged mm-hmm. at some point in your mm-hmm. life and several times over. Mm-hmm. And the how you deal with it really, and we'll talk about this, how it affects you internally.
Mm-hmm.
So the C in reach is about commit. So you have to commit to forgiveness. And again, this is not something that if you really feel like you were wronged, it's not going to happen in 24 hours and 48.
Right.
We're talking about a process that you have to go to, and it depends on the severity of the wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but you have to commit that you're going to forgive in whatever fashion, method, that whatever that looks like
mm-hmm.
for you. And we're going to talk about that as well, that there's different ways to forgive and move on because you personally have to.
Mm-hmm. Well, the burden that you carry not forgiving
mm-hmm.
is enormous. And
yeah.
my personal story coming up was a very lengthy amount of time
mm-hmm.
that it took forgiveness to happen. And I think the recommendations are to write it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to start to come to terms maybe with,
right.
you know, how you're going to forgive or what you can forgive. And, you know, time is a gift because mm-hmm. oftentimes you can't remember all the specific details
right.
that happened anyway. But I think writing your thoughts down and journaling is always a good way to get Absolutely. To the ultimate goal of forgiveness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so hold is the H in reach. And it's hold on to it. The step mm-hmm. is tough because memories of the event will often reoccur. And forgiveness is not erasure. I think that that mm-hmm. is
yeah.
a really good point to make. And it doesn't mean that you're going to forget
right.
what happened, right? right. But
right.
usually through the time element, maybe the writing it out, maybe the thinking on it for years, you've come to terms with, okay, I could have done this better, but I'm... You know, I will always wish that they had done that differently.
Right.
And that it had looked overall differently for both of us. But mm-hmm. the ultimate goal being forgiveness, mm-hmm. then, you know, takes time to get there.
It does.
And committing to it and holding on to that will help you move past the burden that you've carried.
Right. And especially when you think... You shouldn't be the one doing the forgiving,
mm-hmm.
right?
When it We've
when
all
you
done
feel
that.
When you feel like they're the other party is the one who wronged you, you feel strongly that that's the case. Mm-hmm. So you have to get past that. You have to get past whose responsibility is for your own well-being, mm-hmm. and that's what this Harvard Health Study was about. Mm-hmm. It was about the benefits of forgiveness. So just to give you a few of those, it is improved mental health. You're happier, healthy, and you have healthier relationships. Mm-hmm. You have less stress and anxiety and fewer negative emotions. You reduce your blood pressure, and you have fewer issues with depression or ease of symptoms in some people. So fewer issues of depression or at least an ease of those symptoms. Mm-hmm. You have an enhanced immune system and overall better heart health when you can forgive. You know, I think it's holding that grudge, right? I have known some people who can they hold a grudge mm-hmm. and they will not let it go. And I can't believe they don't understand what that's doing to them internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And we've all been there, done that. If, you know, I would be hard pressed to think anybody has not held on to a grudge.
Right.
Whether they were a young person and held on to it or mm-hmm. as we get older, I think, as you said before, that our span of understanding what having a grudge does to us physically mm-hmm. is much larger. And then again, there are some people that don't hold grudges at all and are able to, you know, be friends the next day.
Right.
Most
right.
of the time, it doesn't work like that.
Right. That's with age comes wisdom, right? And
it does.
That's one of
yes.
those things that you learn to, you can go through these steps of reach a whole lot easier when you've got better perspective as an older adult. You can really, you know, start to look back and really reflect and have that peace of mind. And you know, this Harvard study said, if you hold on to that pain, you might be the one who pays the most dearly.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a gift of grace that we have as we age and as we get older and we just have had more things happen to us, good and bad, is that we can share our experiences with others mm-hmm. and how we got past something or what we learned from it. And that's the true gift in it, I think,
right.
you know, for
yeah.
each of us to be able to share an experience. So when I started researching about forgiveness and kind of what I wanted to say about it, my thought first of all went to the Bible, Angie, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we are taught as Christians that forgiveness is part of who we're made up to be.
Right.
You know, and so I think that if you're visiting with another Christian and you're complaining or you're sharing a wrong that happened mm-hmm. to you, mm-hmm. then that, you know, preaching, so to speak, might come up
yes.
in a conversation.
Yes.
So I pulled up two Bible verses. I'm just going to share these because mm-hmm. it was a good reminder to me of what the Bible does say about forgiveness.
Yes.
And this first one is in Ephesians 4, 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, and that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of big words in that, right? Bitterness and rage, mm-hmm. brawling and slander. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we feel wronged, our response is to talk poorly mm-hmm. about somebody, mm-hmm. to have conversation after conversation, basically gossip,
right.
which the Bible doesn't believe in either. And
right.
and so I think that's a good reminder of what venom can sometimes come out of our mouths mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when we haven't forgiven someone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Tanya, one of my biggest pet peeves are those who want to say they're Christian, who can read this Bible and then not do what it
Agree.
Says. You know, I just don't have a lot of patience for people like that.
I mean,
you know, if we're going to say that we're going to be Christians and we're going to live by that book, then we should do it.
That's right. And we should get it out every once in a while and yes. read it and remind ourselves.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read one more, and then sure. I'm going to share a personal story of forgiveness. So this is Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Mm-hmm. And as I was having a conversation with a friend about this, she said to me, something that she always remembers is there is no love without forgiveness, mm-hmm. and there is no forgiveness without love.
Exactly.
So I think it being mentioned in that verse, and then, you know, her poignant words that went along with that, I think a lot of it comes down to finding that love. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's hard, Angie.
Sometimes it is.
And sometimes that love just doesn't seem to be there any longer
yeah.
for you to be able to forgive.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think we both have an experience with that. But mm-hmm. so I want to share my forgiveness story with my first husband, Randy, mm-hmm. and the father of my children. And when most of us probably would hear about a divorce, or we know about a divorce, or we've experienced a divorce in family or ourselves. And that experience involves a lot of tumultuous feelings mm-hmm. and words and mm-hmm. behavior. And my story is no different than that. So when Randy and I divorced, the girls were 7 and 9. And there's a huge blame game in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a blame game of what I did and what he did and the real reason for it and the backstory behind it. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a topic among all your friends and all your family. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, people choose sides.
Right.
And which is very hurtful in itself, but the words and the gossip and the talk that come along with it are so hurtful mm-hmm. and penetrate your soul,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So at first, I was dealing with that. I'm certain Randy was too. Mm-hmm. And the pain of just your whole life being turned upside down mm-hmm. in itself is so hurtful, and you have so much resentment. And I think that is a word that probably no one has ever divorced and not come away with a little bit of resentment
sure,
about sure. Maybe the previous life and what happened in mm-hmm. it, or the actual happenings around the divorce or what have you. So what was the most difficult part of the divorce was having to co-parent. Mm-hmm. And that is often, I think, not realized, because how could it be, right?
Right.
You're in the thick of a bad relationship, and then you decide to get divorced. Well, that bad relationship is not going to get better because of the divorce, right?
Right.
And then these poor children get thrown in the middle of that,
right?
Or have always been in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And so co-parenting became a big source of contention in our mm-hmm. post-divorce life. Mm-hmm. And this, to put a time period on this and on the length of time it went on, it probably went on for 10 years. Mm. And that's a long time.
Yeah.
And reflecting on that, as I've had to do, as I kind of recalled this story, 10 years is a really long time. And now at my age that I'm, you know, 20 plus years past that, mm-hmm. I've forgotten a lot of the details. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably part of that forgiveness
right.
portion, is that you forget all of those really bad stings and mm-hmm. hurts mm-hmm. from the words and the choosing sides and things that were said by family members that came back for me to hear mm-hmm. that were so, so hurtful. Mm-hmm. But then add the co-parenting onto that and that difficulty going on for 10 years and the ugliness that was said between us, and mostly, you know, in this day and age, it's done via text.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because it can be, right?
Right?
Because you don't have to say it in front of someone.
Right.
And so I remember at one point it being so bad that I made a doctor's appointment to go in because my blood pressure, I couldn't get my blood pressure under control. And mm-hmm. I'd never had blood pressure problems prior to this. Mm-hmm. But my family also has a history mm-hmm. of high blood pressure. So I remember going in to the doctor, and I can visibly see myself sitting mm-hmm. on the end of the table. And the doctor at the time was a friend of mine. And she said, "You have got to get this under control. You know, I'm going to put you on meds and, you know, whatever her assessment was, but you've got to get this under control." And I remember just being in tears mm-hmm. saying, "How do I do that? Mm-hmm. I can't get rid of the ex-husband.
Right.
I certainly don't want to go back to him.
Right.
There seems to be no way out of this horrible pattern of behavior that we're in mm-hmm. that is ugly and vicious and unkind words and, mm-hmm. you know." Mm-hmm. And so although I appreciated her wisdom in her, you know, field, there was no way to get out of it other mm-hmm. than to start not digesting it the same way that
right.
I had been, right?
Right.
So the hurt and the pain and the words, I really had to just stop responding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not let a text that came from him affect me the way that it had been affecting mm-hmm. me, and not engage. I had to stop engaging in this
right.
behavior.
Right.
And
because you were just fueling it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I learned years later, and I knew this in the middle of it, but it was confirmed by him. He had gotten married within 6 months of us getting mm-hmm. divorced, mm-hmm. remarried. Mm-hmm. And they were married about 10 years. And that ends up coming back to be part of this forgiveness story. But I believe she fueled that fire. Mm. I believe that she thought Randy hated my guts and needed to hate my mm-hmm. guts. And
just to feel, make herself feel better, probably.
And, right. And mm-hmm. probably to make her feel more superior to mm-hmm. me and to sit
and
back and laugh.
Her relationship.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Laugh at how ugly he was being mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
And he confirmed that she fueled it.
Yeah.
And so fast forward to 2016, and I'm going through another divorce. Mm-hmm. And at the end of 2018, Randy and this person he was married to went through a really ugly Christmas Eve, and their marriage was over mm-hmm. on that night, actually. Mm-hmm. She mm-hmm. threw him out, and he never got to go back home. Mm-hmm. And he went through the next year of hell again mm-hmm. that I had recently went through with husband number two. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we ended up having these same paths somewhat, but anyway, in that year, we became friends again. Mm-hmm. And he came over one night, and of course, you know, my children are involved in all of this.
Right.
Because they feel sorry for their dad. They felt sorry for me when I was going through it again.
Right.
And so both of us kind of ended up being back in a similar position that we had caused one another to be in mm-hmm. when we went through our own divorce. Mm-hmm. And I remember Randy coming over one night, and he was in a really bad place personally through this divorce. And he came over, and he and I sat, and we just shared our stories of how we felt in these recent divorces. Mm-hmm. And we found a commonality mm-hmm. again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just became friends mm-hmm. in that time period. We forgot about the past between us mm-hmm. and we forgot about all the ugly words, and we were able to set all of that in the past and just say, you know, we kind of need each other
yeah.
just to encourage and know that, you know, I was on the brink of being on the other side of mine. Mm-hmm. And so I had to encourage him that, you know, just keep moving
yeah.
and keep breathing yeah. and keep walking every day. Because mm-hmm. until you walk through your shoes and the fire you're in, mm-hmm. you can't see the other side of it.
Right.
You
right.
know, so he and I now share two grandchildren mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and we have a friendship that I, you know, 20 years ago, I would have said, no way in hell will I ever be able to have
right.
a nice conversation with him
right.
because of the venom that has come out of his mouth mm-hmm. towards me. And it's amazing what forgiveness actually does to you to be able to just put things in the past and say they don't matter anymore. And
right.
truly, they don't. You know, right. he and I are so far beyond our own divorce uh-huh. and our own ugliness that we each shared a part of, that this new life with grandchildren is just mm-hmm. a different version. It's a
yeah.
new chapter.
Yeah.
And why hate? You know, why hold grudges? What, we can't go back and change anything right. that happened in our marriage
right.
or our divorce. And our children and our grandchildren are so much better for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think in that story, I can say that forgiveness in the end ultimately won,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right, yeah.
But I also think, and I think that you and I share a commonality in this feeling,
mm-hmm.
because we've both had something happen in our lives that the act of forgiveness in the act of what happened to us mm-hmm. maybe hasn't been done in that, maybe with that word, with forgiveness.
Right.
And I think, you tell me your thought,
mm-hmm.
I think forgiveness has different levels to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes forgetting is actually, and being able to move on, and not that
right.
you'll ever, that's not really the way to say that, but being able to move past what happened
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that you forgave what happened,
mm-hmm.
but it means that you have peace with it.
Right, right.
And that you've been able to move on from the bad thing that happened. And in a way, maybe that's forgiving yourself for all the bad feelings and maybe a grudge
right.
that you held, that you don't any longer hold that inside of you. But you also had to move past the action of forgiving to be able to let it go.
Right. Yeah, there's a whole lot there that we can unpack. First of all, I would commend you because I know that throughout all of that, you had your kids' best interest at heart. And I think when it comes to divorce, I think, or really anything, there's a lot of situations where we don't think about the ripple effect. We think it's between us and one other person or two other people or whatever. We think it's here, it's between us and we have to figure it out. But there is such a ripple effect when something happens like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take divorce as the example, you don't, and we've said this before on the podcast, is that when you get divorced, you're not just divorcing the person you were married to.
Mm-hmm.
You're divorcing friends, you're divorcing family.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those people mm-hmm. have feelings, and they loved you too.
Mm-hmm. For
and
sure.
I had a situation in my life that I was not the person that was directly wronged per se, but I still loved that other person, and them going away was heartbreaking. And then regardless of if you are the person that is right in the middle of it, there is still blame laid. So, and sometimes it's blame on yourself. Why didn't I not see this?
Right.
Could I have said something long ago instead of laughing something off or being, you know, joking about something? Is there something I could say or have done to make the situation better?
Sure.
So I think that even beyond the two people who it's happening to directly, that happens with the people around you too, especially if you're close and you love them and you wanted nothing more than their happiness together. Now you have to figure out how to navigate that. Understanding what that does to children, and if you continue to hold that grudge and that bitterness and that anger, if you think you're hiding that from your child, you are not.
No, you are not. You're not hiding anything from them.
Right.
In fact.
No. They know. They can sense it. They can feel it.
They hear it. Yes.
And even if you did your best to conceal your conversations, like never fought in front of them or never, you know, when you were together, you were civil and didn't have any kind of discourse, they can still sense it. They still know that things are not right.
Yeah.
So I commend you for finding your way to forgiveness and shielding your children as much as you could.
As much as I possibly could.
Because you didn't stoop to the level of the negative talk and the negative, you know.
I didn't. I never engaged in talking negatively around my children especially, but even to friends. I just left it because everybody kind of had their own opinion anyway.
Right.
So it wasn't, I didn't need to feed into that. And I was in an unhealthy state of mind anyway that would have just caused more pain and anguish for myself. And I made a decision early on with Randy to not talk poorly about him to anyone and especially to my children. And I never did. I think there were honest conversations that came out later on when they were old enough to have them.
Yes.
But I never engaged in that. And I have friends that witnessed that and they've complimented me on it and just said, you were probably way better than you should have been regarding what was happening in that ugly 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had to be. It was the only way I could keep my peace of mind.
Right.
At the time.
Well, what does it accomplish, right? The only problem with your situation, well, lots of problems with your situation, but one thing that stands out to me is that when you went to the doctor and it was affecting your health, you were holding all that in. Some people, I think, get rid of that rage by talking to other people and expressing that with other people, essentially gossiping. You were holding that in. You know, in those situations, and we've talked to several counselors, counseling probably would have been a good solution for you.
Oh, for sure. And I was in counseling.
Okay. Yeah. So at least to have some way to get those emotions out, because forgiveness is not about burying your feelings or making them so that you keeping them inside so much that it hurts you internally and results in all these health issues. You have to talk to someone.
Yeah.
Just do it responsibly and respectfully and find yourself a counselor or a trusted friend that you can talk to, because at some point in terms of forgiveness, you just have to talk it out. Many times we can't. When we go back through those steps of reach, sometimes empathizing again is really hard when you've been hurt so bad and this is lingering. Now it's gone from just, I can't live with this person, to just this awful ugliness because of all the things they're saying. And it without a different perspective, someone else, mm-hmm. to help you see a different perspective, it would be really hard to empathize. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Us talking about forgiveness when sometimes you just move on, mm-hmm. I think a big portion of that is accountability.
Right.
And if the other person has not been accountable,
right.
So you've never, you know, oftentimes you're never going to have this conversation about forgiveness, mm-hmm. because of what's happened, whatever your scenario is, you've just had to move on.
Right.
But when you know there is no accountability for the actions that person took, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's the part of forgiveness that for your own peace of mind, you have to figure out how you're going to deal with it, mm-hmm. knowing that you're never, probably never going to have that conversation and that person own their portion
right.
of what happened.
Right. And that's exactly where I am in my situation. Back to your point that sometimes forgiveness is not full and complete forgiveness because you're not sitting down and having that conversation right. with that person, and you know that they're never going to admit to their, because it takes two. We've right. already talked about that. It's not just one-sided. And at some point, yes, you just have to say, I'm just going to be at peace with this, because if I hang on to this anger and this resentment, again, the only person that's hurting is me.
Yep.
And I don't need to exacerbate the problem by going back and reliving that with the person who actually had that happen to them or any other of my family members. There's no point in that. I think we each deal with forgiveness in a different way, and mm-hmm. we just have to give each other space to do that. Mm-hmm. And I would say you're exactly right. Can I use the word forgiveness in this particular situation? I have forgiven myself for feeling any kind of responsibility or blame mm-hmm. in that. Mm-hmm. I have moved on, and I would not be angry if I saw that person on the street today, mm-hmm. but I also don't feel like engaging with them is mm-hmm. something that is healthy for me
right.
either.
Yeah.
So
boundaries.
Boundaries. And yeah. you just move past it.
Yeah.
And as long as you can have peace in your heart with yes. how you've handled that and the resolution that you've come to, mm-hmm. that's all you can do
yeah.
in some of those situations.
I agree. And we, obviously, the only person that we can really take care of and do the right thing by is ourselves.
Right.
So.
Yes. Yeah.
Many times that's the most important anyway.
Yeah.
Especially if you're never going to have the opportunity to get the accountability from the other person or get to have that conversation without it just being more hurtful again than helpful.
Right. And, you know, I guess depending on the grievance, how important is it? I mean, I think there are grievances that are we take really strongly in the heat of the moment. And after the fact, do you really need somebody to own up to what they did wrong?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
You just move past it.
Right.
And
Because you know.
Yes. And again, it comes back to where are these people in your life? If you know their heart, you know that, you know, perhaps something was going on with them. They were in a difficult situation, and maybe they didn't handle it correctly. But just ask yourself, do you really need that accountability from them?
Yep.
And if not,
you just move on.
You just move on.
Yep.
I love this conversation, Tanya, because
Me
I think
too.
It is so important, and I think sometimes we don't even recognize that we're holding on to something from long, long ago. Mm-hmm. And that's why counseling can help anyone mm-hmm. that if you think that you're hanging on to something or having someone to talk to, just talking like this can be helpful sometimes.
Agreed.
Just getting it out and helping you to kind of work through that. And again, it took you 10 years to get to a point that you felt really comfortable.
Yeah.
And could actually use the word forgive.
Could start mending.
Yeah,
yes.
Mending fences.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I have just a couple of quotes that I kind of wanted to end on, and then just to say that, you know, we hope that you can find forgiveness in your heart for whoever has wronged you, because we want you to be happy and healthy, and it's only really hurting you. But forgiveness is above all a personal choice, a decision of the heart to go against natural instinct to pay back evil with evil. No, two wrongs don't make a right. That's what I was always told. And so I think that's really important to remember.
That's right.
And then I will quote Mahatma Gandhi, who said, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong."
Mm-hmm. So true.
So as we wrap up here today and you're about to enjoy Thanksgiving with your family, we just wish you all the best and hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We also hope that you share this episode with anyone who might need to hear about forgiveness and might learn something from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Please share and make sure you like our Facebook and Instagram pages. Happy Thanksgiving and God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.